I'm going to be sharing some truths that will hopefully transform your, maybe even your way of thinking. But I want to begin with a video. I want to begin this morning with a video that's probably going to bless your socks off. Let's go with the video. Nothing gonna steal my joy. I knew every one of you could relate to that, and I promise you, you probably see a lot of people in that video, don't you? I see myself. I promise you, I see myself. I can't keep my hands in my pocket. I can't stand still. When I get to praising the Lord, it's like, okay, God. Okay, all right. That's all right. I identify with that, and there is so much truth in that. That song in itself, there is so much truth in that. I ain't going to let anything steal my joy. Not going to let anything steal my joy. This morning, I'm just going to share a message of reminder. I want to share just some simple scriptures that are very, very profound that have helped me in my walk with God. I just turned 62. I saw Laura place something on Facebook the other day. Said, how old will you be in 10 years? I didn't reply to that. 72 in 10 years.
I'm already there.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times, right? But 72, and my daughter will be 41. She said, how old will your oldest kid be? Your child. She said child. She didn't say kid. Child. How old will your oldest child be in 10 years? And how old will you be in 10 years? That makes you think, doesn't it? And how fast is that 10 years going to go? Boom. What are you going to do in the next 10 years? What are you going to do for yourself and for the kingdom of God's sake over the next 10 years? I want to be radical. I probably am. I want to be radical. I want my name to be known in the world of darkness. I want them to know that when George Smith wakes up, they better look out. I work at a nursing home and I see the enemy just about every room that I walk into to pray, I have to run the devil off. I had a young man come to my office two weeks ago now. Young, I say young because he's only 68. But he's hearing voices. Something's waking him up in the middle of the night, literally shaking him and waking him up in the middle of the night, and there's nobody in the room. The devil's real, whether you want to believe it or not, he's real. Come and join me at the nursing home and I'll show you, I'll introduce you. He's real. But what you need to know and what we need to know is greater is he that is in us. Woohoo! Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. I don't give the devil credit for anything. I just run him off. God said, resist the devil and he will flee. I run him off. You don't have any place here. I walk the halls of the nursing home saying, Jesus is Lord over Heritage Hall. Jesus is Lord over Heritage Hall. Jesus is Lord over Heritage Hall because that's where I work. You can do the same thing where you work. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Proclaim him to be Lord no matter where you are. Jesus is Lord in my home. Jesus is Lord in my vehicle. Jesus is Lord no matter where I am or no matter what I'm doing. Jesus is still Lord. And if I do something wrong, it ain't going to change that, Mike. Jesus is still Lord. Nothing's going to take him off the throne. He earned that. He earned that rightfully. Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. How much? All. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction. There's a big, big word I want to share with you. Instruction in righteousness. There's some of us in the body today and in the church that need a little bit of instruction. I still need instruction. I'm not there. I don't know anybody. Brother, are you there?
No.
Okay. Just want to check. Make sure. Is there anybody else that has arrived? Is there anybody here that still needs some instruction in their life? Wait a minute. Let me get up here. I think my hand needs to be highest. I still need God to speak into my life and give me instruction in righteousness. Instruction in rightly dividing the word of truth. And instruction to help me in this path of Christianity that I've called to be my life and to be my lifestyle. Not just my life, but my lifestyle. See, we choose, it's choice. God gives us, he restored at the day of redemption, he restored the power of choice. And then he said in the word, he said, I would this day that you would choose, there's that word, choose life. God encourages us to choose life. I want to talk to you about this morning from the book of Acts. I'm not going to give a scripture verse yet. But Paul, being the mighty man of God that he was, and how he got where he was into the kingdom, God literally had to knock him off his donkey or knock him off of his horse and cause him to be blind and cause him to be... I mean, God really got his attention in a big way, didn't he? Well, he called Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, that Paul was to be the man that God had chosen to minister grace, to minister healing, to minister deliverance, to minister all the things that God had brought down from heaven through Jesus Christ. Paul was supposed to be the man ministering it to us. We are the Gentiles. Anybody in here born in the Jewish faith? I've been adopted. I've been grafted in, and I believe every one of us here have been grafted in through the one man, Jesus Christ. But Paul was a Jew. He was a Jew through and through. And he was so zealous for the things of the Jewish faith that he killed Christians. He killed Jewish Christians. He even went into the cities and would drag them into the streets and murder them right there. He would take them to the Jerusalem and let them face the council, and they would be beheaded. Christians being beheaded by the Apostle Paul. God got his attention and changed him, transformed him, turned him into an agent of light. Made him become an agent of light. How many of you ever been in a place where, before Christ, where your life was despicable? Let me get up in the chair again. Paul said this. He said, of most, I am the worst of all the sinners. I'm a chief, he said. I'm the chief of all sinners. But God called him to be a man of God. And he went about doing great things for the kingdom's sake. And he had a partner named Barnabas. Barnabas was his partner that the Jewish Hedron assigned unto him. The brothers of the Jew in the Jew, Jerusalem, they assigned Barnabas to be his partner. Well, there came a time when they went down into Macedonia in the 15th chapter of Acts. They went down to Macedonia and they met with the council, the Christian council. They met with other, in fact, they even met with apostles, and they even met with some prophets. There were some prophets, according to the book of Acts, that they were there to discuss what the kingdom of God and what God was wanting them to do. Well, Barnabas thought it would be good to have Mark tag along. How many of you know two's company and three's a crowd? We all know that, don't we? Well, Paul said no. And because he said no, there arose a great contention between Paul and Barnabas, and they split. It's like the church split. Not really, but it did. It was like they just... Have you ever been in the church where there's somebody you just can't get along with? No, it's quiet here. Somebody rubs you the wrong way, maybe. You have to, is there some of those that you have to walk in love a whole lot more than you do with others? Extra grace, amen. You pray extra for extra grace in those situations. Well, they split. Paul and Barnabas split. Barnabas and Mark went one way. And Paul got with the council and said, okay, I'm by myself. Who you want to go with me? And Silas said, I'll do it. The council said, that seems good. Seems good that Silas join you. on your missionary journeys, going into the churches and visiting the churches and sharing with the churches and doing all this with the churches and ministering. In fact, in 15th chapter leading up to 16, they went to 9 different churches. They went to 9 different places in that leading up. They went to Syria. They went to Antioch. They went to Cyprus. They went to Philippi. They went a whole bunch of different places they had gone to, and they preached the gospel. They lived their Christian life just like we are doing now. We're living our Christian life every day. And these two men went about doing the will of God for their life and sharing everywhere they went. This young man that I was talking about earlier, where the voices and everything was being heard in his room, he came to my office Friday a week ago. He said, "This has got to stop." And then he began to unfold his life history. How bitter he was and how angry he was at his family after his accident. They dropped him off at the nursing home and they've never been back. 2 kids. Never been to see him since he's been in the nursing home over 5 years. His wife took all the money, sold the house, sold the cars. She's moved off somewhere. Medicaid's looking for her, because Medicaid's now taking care of this man. I began to share with him about Christ, how important it was to forgive. Shared scriptures on forgiving those who have wronged you. And he said, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can forgive them. You just don't know. You have no idea what all I've endured." And he's in a wheelchair due to a back surgery. About an hour goes by. I've shared Romans Road of Salvation. I've shared numerous scriptures on forgiveness and how important it is to forgive. And talked and listened more than I talked, a whole lot more than I talked. But I got prompted by the Holy Ghost to ask him, "Do you think it's about time that your life change? Would you like to have some change in your life?" Yes. The answer was yes. And I told him, I said, "Well, the only way you're going to get this change is through forgiving those who have wronged you. You've got to be able to forgive." "I can't do it." I said, "Well, I know somebody who can help you. His name's Jesus." I said, "I was in the same boat with my dad. I hated my dad. I even tried to kill him and would have if God hadn't intervened. Despised my dad. Had anger and bitterness in my heart toward him. And I stand here today to tell you I'm a free man. Because Jesus set me free. Not because of anything I did, but because Jesus set me free." Shared that with him. I said, "It's time for you to receive Christ." "Well, what do I got to do?" "Nothing. All you got to do is ask, and it's free." We sat there and prayed. He prayed for forgiveness and prayed for repentance and prayed to receive Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and finished, and I was teary-eyed, and he was too. 2 days later, he tells me, on Monday, he tells me, he said, "I'm a changed man." That's what I'm talking about. Living that Christian life, to where others see that you're different. That there's something about you that other people are drawn to other than just a personality. Matthew McConaughey, I don't know if y'all knew who he was, but he was in Lawrenceburg yesterday working with Wild Turkey Everybody knows who Matthew McConaughey is. I don't know. He was working with Wild Turkey, and they were giving out turkeys to every resident in Lawrenceburg. Over 4,500 butterball turkeys they gave away yesterday. And they gave them away for Thanksgiving. But Matthew McConaughey, everybody knows, and that made Wild Turkey look wonderful because he's promoting this big gift and everything that everybody's giving, which is absolutely awesome. There's a lot of people in Lawrenceburg who desperately could use a free turkey for Thanksgiving because they probably wouldn't get one if they didn't get it free. Thank God that he did this. But I'm here to tell you that it takes more than a celebrity name and a celebrity lifestyle to change you and to change our world. That turkey will be gone. Matthew McConaughey will be gone. Then what? Then what? Then that's where the rubber really kind of meets the road. When all the hype is gone, then what? Outside of Christ, there is no hope. Paul and Silas, living their Christian life, they encountered all kinds of things. But there was one town that they went into in Macedonia where they encountered something that I believe will help us today. Because you know, the scripture sometimes, when you read over it, it's like reading a book. And then you read over it again, still like reading a book. But then you read over it, and the anointing of God comes upon you, and then it's like, wow, I never saw that before. Where did that come from? Why have I never known that? Why has that never been revealed to me before? Wow, this is awesome. And it changes your way of thinking. It changes maybe even your way of life. Like the little girl. You think you could stop her from that song had a hold of her? That song was changing her life. There ain't nothing going to steal my joy. That's truth. That's straight book, chapter, and verse. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Book, chapter, and verse for her. Well, Paul and Silas was living book, chapter, and verse. And there was written book, chapter, and verse. And Paul and Silas went into this community and they stayed for a little while. And they were ministering the gospel and they were sharing the gospel with those in Macedonia. And a lady named Lydia asked them to just come and stay at her house. And they did. And there was a day, the next day or the days after, says they stayed there many days. Many days they stayed there. And it came to pass when they were praying that a certain damsel, it says a certain girl, who was a soothsayer, a fortune teller, someone who went about telling your fortune for money. But their masters were the ones, her master was the one who was getting all the money. She was owned by her masters. And she was making money for them by telling fortunes. And this girl went around behind Paul and Silas hollering, "These men are the men of the Most High God. Hear them. You need to listen to them. Hear them. These men are the men of the Most High God." Paul got troubled in his spirit over this. First and foremost, it was like, whoa, this is nice. Keep it up, girl. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and said, whoa, this ain't right. Paul got troubled in his spirit, the scripture says. His spirit was troubled over this, and he turned and rebuked that demon that was in that girl, the spirit of soothsaying, the demon, that's what it says. He rebuked that demon and the demon came out of her. Well, boy, that created all kinds of problems because those men that were getting all this money, they couldn't get it anymore. They weren't getting any money because of this, because of her soothsaying. So what'd they do? They went to the magistrate. They went to the city court, to the courthouse in downtown Harrisburg or downtown Danville. They went and complained, and they brought Paul and Silas down to the city hall, and they beat them. They flogged them. It says they beat them many times, not just once or twice, but it says, Scripture says they beat them many times. And then, that wasn't enough just to take a flogging. We're going to put you in jail. We're going to put you in prison. Now, remember this. Now, Paul and Silas were Jews. And the magistrate in that community was Jewish. So remember that. When they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison. And then they charged the guy who had put them into prison. They charged the guard. But boy, you better not let anything happen to these guys. These are some rude guys. These are some bad guys. Don't you dare let anything happen to them. So he didn't just put them in prison. He put them in the inner prison. And that wasn't even enough. He put bonds on them, chained their feet and hands and everything. And I know you've read this story. But I hope God will reveal something to you, just like he did to me on this portion of Scripture, that changed my way of thinking. Put them in the inner prison and put chains and stocks upon them. And at midnight, whoo! Or sometimes we all need a midnight experience. Paul and Silas had a midnight experience with God. Scripture says that they were praying. Oh God. Don't know why I'm here, oh God, but Lord, I ask for you to show me. I ask for revelation. After they prayed, they began to sing in hymns. They started praising God. And it says, and I want you to know this, this didn't have to be in there. They didn't have to include this in that portion of Scripture, but they did. They said, and all the prisoners heard them. All the prisoners, except for those that were in charge, the Scripture later says, they were asleep. Well, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing and rejoicing over getting beat for the kingdom of God, an earthquake takes place. Boom! The foundation shakes. Whoo! You talk about powerful praying. You talk about powerful singing. No, I'm telling you about a powerful God. A God who's more than enough in every circumstance that you may face. A God that can handle anything that you throw at Him. There ain't nothing too hard for God. The only thing that limits God is faith. And if you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, God will show up and do great and mighty things. These guys had already walked with God. They knew. They had seen miracles. They had seen the dead raised. They had seen crazy things happen. The blind see and the lame walk. And they had already seen all the miracles, many of the miracles of God. So they didn't lack in the faith avenue. They believed God and it was counted unto them. And they great things happened with them. And as they sang, suddenly an earthquake took place in the foundations of the prison. Woo-hoo-hoo. Foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately, not next day, but immediately the doors flung open. And everyone's bands fell off. And the guy woke up who was supposed to be guarding them by the foundation shaking. And he thought, oh my God, What am I going to do? I'll just kill myself with a sword. Drew his sword and Paul yelled, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. We're not leaving. We're not leaving this place. We're here. I want you to know something this morning, that portion of Scripture has a lot deeper meaning than on the surface. Scripture says that it's all Scripture is given by inspiration of God for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction. This just sounds like a really good story, doesn't it? But there's spiritual insight to this. Scripture says it's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I want to tell you something. There is great power. Great power. When you pray and you sing praises to God, it brings God into the here and now. It brings God into the place where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in prison, and if you're in prison in some way here today, God will begin to break you out of that prison, even if it takes an earthquake to do it, because God is interested in every aspect of your life. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. I come from the drug background. I was a dealer. I was a user. Packed a 38 in my belt because I was dealing drugs. Went to Atlanta to buy cocaine. I can't tell you how many times. I was in prison. Somebody introduced me to this Jesus, and it radically changed my life. He radically changed my life. I'm here today to tell you that He can radically change your life. No matter what problem you're facing here today, all you have to do is begin sing praises unto God and pray. Because He's a God answer, He's a prayer answering God, and He loves it when His kids get excited and start to praise Him in the midst of every circumstance that they're facing. You know, when I praise God the most is whenever I'm being harassed the most by the enemy. I know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I hold on to that. I'm not going to let the devil get me down. There is a song that we used to sing at Christ for the Nations whenever I was there. I ain't got time to let the devil get me down. Powerful song. I ain't got time for him. Do you? I'm not going to let him change me. I'm going to change the world and impact the world in which I live in. It's time. Like the pastor prayed a while ago, it's time for the church to rise up and be the church. To call black, black, and white, white. And pardon that, I don't mean anything by that, but you need to be living what you say you're supposed to be living rather than covering it up with something else. You got to live what you believe. If you believe it, live it. If you don't believe it, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. It ain't going to change your life one iota. If you don't live it, you got to live what you believe. One other scripture I want to share with you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking, Paul encourages us to speak to ourselves. Isn't that what it says? Speak to yourself. In other words, you have the authority to tell yourself, buddy, you better get in line. You better line up with what you know you're supposed to be doing. You better line up with the truth which God has given you. You better line up. Speaking to yourself. With what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. I'm here to tell you there is so much power in that right there. Just in that scripture alone, you bring God on the scene whenever you start singing and praising and making melody in your heart. God shows up. He inhabits the praises of His people. Woo! In this whole chapter of Ephesians chapter 5, it's giving instructions on how to live. It talks about husbands loving your wives and wives submitting to your husbands. And it talks about a whole bunch of other things about not yielding yourself to the flesh and not doing all these evil things in Ephesians. You can read it for yourself, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to expound upon it from that. It talks about all kinds of things of how to live a Christian life. And in the middle of it, right in the very middle of that verse, of that chapter, it says this. It's like it's out of context. It's like that verse is just like, it doesn't really fit with all that's going on here, but he says this. Okay, take a breath. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart. Why? Because that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take for you to live a strong Christian life. You're going to need those songs. You're going to need those hymns. You're going to need those spiritual songs. You're going to need those to be able to do all that the rest of the chapter is talking about. This morning, verse 26 of Acts. Do you need a foundation shaken in your life this morning? Do you need some doors opened in your life? Some doors? Have you been thrust into the inner prison and something in your life, and you've just pushed it down and pushed it away and pushed it back and said, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to worry about that. Are you in bondage to something this morning? Something holding you in bondage? Something got an addiction in your life that you can't break? You've tried. You've said, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to ever get over this. I don't know what it's going to take for me to get you've thought about suicide. Only God knows. It's you and God, really. Let's be real. It's you and God. You're not getting in on mama's shirt tail. You're not getting in on daddy's coattail. It's you and God. You and Jesus. And husbands and wives, I precious. I am so thankful for the wife that my father gave me. So thankful. But her faith is for her. Her faith carries her. Do I join with her and pray with her? Yes, I do. And she prays with me and joins with me. Like faith, we love one another. So important. But what bondage are you in? It's time to start singing praises. It's time to start praying. Oh God, I need help. I've tried over and over and over to break this, and I can't break it, Lord. I'll praise you. I'll give you praise and honor and glory for all that you do in my life, oh God. And I'll sing praises to you because I know you are the reason I'm here. This morning, we're going to close. I know I'm radical, but I serve a radical God who's more than enough in every circumstance. And you know what? I'm just simple enough to believe every word that He says. If He said it, it settles it. If He said, don't commit adultery, bless God, you know what? I ain't going there. If He said, thou shalt not steal, I'm not stealing. You know why? I'm breaking God. I'm breaking God's rules. And I love my father. I love my daddy. And I even love my natural father, because the love of God has constrained me to do so. I chose to forgive my dad before he died, and I was able to tell him that I loved him before he died. Radical? Yes. Changing? Yes. Wonderful Father? Absolutely. Stand with me. We're going to have a song. We're going to close with a song this morning. Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. If prayer this morning. We're here to minister grace and healing to you. If you need something broken off of your life, I know God is able. And more than enough. If you need Jesus in your life this morning, you've never made that confession. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. If you've never said, Jesus, come into my life and save me. One-on-one, personal relationship. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. You're dismissed. Go in the grace of the Lord. If you need prayer this morning, we're here.